Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
6-11, first official day of summer, but let's face it, it's been summer here for the last, 6 weeks? Going to be till October, and there you go, chance for afternoon showers, which is going to be the situation, barring any tropical weather, which there is none on the horizon. So for now, we'll take it. Teresa Mayers joins us now, Associate Professor of Anthropology and Director of the Graduate Program in Food Systems at the University of Vermont, to talk about farm workers, undocumented immigrants, rounding up what happens if there are mass deportations, food supply chain, etc. Good morning, Professor. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing okay. How are you doing?
I'm okay. For people that don't understand what anthropology has to do with all of this, explain that, would you please?
Yeah, of course. So I'm a cultural anthropologist, so I work with very living people instead of dead people, which some of my colleagues do. But
Around here, it's hard to tell the difference, Professor.
Yeah, I study culture, I study food, and I study immigration. And for the past 15 years or so, my work has focused on the role that immigrants play in the food system in the United States.
Last time we had a funeral around here, we were looking at the deceased and said, you know, lying there with his eyes closed, you'd think he could be at work. Let's talk about the food the food chain and mass deportation. Farmers depend on around the nation. How do you even go about determining who depends on whom for harvesting their crops?
It's everyone. It's every industry from dairy, which is an industry that I've studied quite a bit, to, you know, fresh produce, to meat packing, to chicken processing. It's not just in the fields, right? It's also in processing facilities, in restaurants, in fast food restaurants. You know, it's a really a food systems issue, not just a farm issue.
So what would happen, or has it have the, first of all, I don't know that anybody's making a case for, first of all, I just want to clear that up with the audience, because we have a conservative audience, and I just make sure everybody understands, I'm not making a case for illegal immigration. I'm just looking at every effect, every action has an equal and opposite reaction, right? Every action has a reaction. So if this crackdown continues, what's going to happen to the food supply? Food supply chain, I guess, is my question. It's an accurate
one? I think we're going to have real issues. And I think that, you know, when you look at the dependence that we have on immigrant farm workers, both undocumented and documented, so much of our supply chain and the food that feeds us all comes through the hands of people who are born outside of the country. And so, you know, these ideas around mass deportation are not necessarily taking into consideration how dependent we are on these workers, in addition to the fact that, you know, these workers are human beings with families that they're trying to support both here and at home. And, you know, it is certainly an economic issue, but to me, it's also a really important human rights issue.
So I was talking to our agriculture secretary yesterday about Louisiana and undocumented farm workers, and I think we should talk about the difference between documented farm workers and undocumented farm workers, what, as you talked about the individuals and the human beings, what life is like for either?
Yeah, so I think that, you know, what we see in the United States is that there are certain kinds of programs that do allow farm workers to come through official channels. So we have the H-2A visa program, which brings workers, you know, even just down the road from me here in Vermont to apple orchards and to berry farms. And that program is a seasonal program, right? So that the food that is being created has to be created on a seasonal basis. When you look at an industry like dairy, which is an important industry, not only in Vermont, but in lots of places around the world and in the United States, there's no legal pathway for workers to come into that industry. The H-2A visa program doesn't apply because it's year-round work. And so,
Let me slow down a little bit because you deal with this every day, just for people that are trying to keep up, because it is early. It's 6:15. So the H-2A visa program that the agriculture department guy was secretary was telling me about yesterday applies for only seasonal workers. Is that it?
Yes. Yep. For seasonal workers.
Okay. And is there a visa program that applies for year-round farm workers then?
There is not. Okay. There is absolutely not. And so, you know, there have been proposals to expand the H-2A program to include year-round work. I don't personally think that that's a best solution. But that argument that people should go through official channels to work year-round, that is not an option.
So let me just ask you, since you said it, why do you think that is not a good idea?
Well, I think when you look at some of the research that's been done on the H-2A program, which there's been quite a bit of research, including some by my co-author, Laura Ann Minkoff-Cern at Syracuse, there are a number of documented abuses within that program that they're, you know, it works really well for some farms and for some farm workers, but for a lot of others, it doesn't work that well. And there's documented cases of abuse and pay withholding. And I think that if we are thinking about, you know, what truly works best for eaters and people who need food in the United mm-hmm. States and people who need work, I think that we need to really kind of go back to the drawing board and think about what a comprehensive visa program would look like for agricultural workers.
When it comes to protections for documented as opposed to undocumented workers, mm-hmm. I don't know what I don't know, Professor. So it would seem to me I would jump to the conclusion of, well, at least if they're documented, they have some protections. If they're undocumented, they have no protections. Would that be a false presumption on my part?
No, I think that that's true. And I think that that's definitely, you know, in under normal circumstances, I think that's absolutely true. I think that what worries me is that some of the rhetoric and some of the discourse that we're seeing from this federal administration is actually pushing us to rethink what we mean by citizenship and, mm-hmm. you know, these sort of maybe hollow threats to also deport U.S. citizens is, you know, that's really concerning to me. So under normal circumstances and normal sort of political environments, absolutely, I would say that that visa does bring with it some protections, but I don't really think that we're seeing business as usual right now.
I like to bring the audience in, and sometimes the opinions are well-founded, sometimes not so much. Sometimes they're emotional and knee-jerk. The Oakland Art Jeweler mm-hmm. Talk and text line's open at 504-260-1870. Please don't ever text and drive. But somebody texted and said, pardon me, please stop making excuses for people entering the country illegally. Come on. Mm-hmm. I don't think you're doing that, are you?
No, I'm not. What I'm asking, and I think this is part of, you know, my approach as an anthropologist, is to think about what is the broader history, what is the broader context that makes it so people have very few choices other than to migrate, right? And if we look at Mexican history, if we look at the effects of things like NAFTA, we also have to look at what are the root causes for migration? Why are people coming? And, you know, I think that if any of us were in the position where our choice was either to not feed our children or to migrate, I think most of us know what our choice would be.
So when it comes to the Americans, the people like this 1823 number that texted about people entering the country illegally and mass deportations, if that were to occur, and to me, all I try to do is present the facts and say, okay, well, if you make sure you think it through and if you want this, then this is going to be the result of that. Let me take a break for traffic. When we come through, we'll talk about mass deportation and if the Trump administration, and I'm not sure that this is its stated goal or not, but it seems as though I can infer that its goal is to remove all undocumented workers, all illegals from the country. If that is the case, well, then what effect is it going to have on the supply chain for us as it relates to food and different industries like not just farm work, but food processing, et cetera, and what it could look like for the economy if, say, in 3 months, every illegal was to disappear from the country and be deported? What then would the American consumer have to face? Again, to whoever texted this, not making excuses for people entering the country illegally, but just letting you know what you might be in for, because every action has a reaction. And just so you know, it's the old saying, you better watch what you ask for because you might just get it. Understanding what you might just get and then deciding if you're still for that or not. 620 traffic now, WWL. 625, Tommy Tucker talking to Teresa Mayers, Associate Professor of Anthropology and Director of the Graduate Program in Food Systems at the University of Vermont, about H-2A visa seasonal workers. When it comes to farm workers, the only way to have H-2A legal seasonal workers, rather, on a visa, on the H-2A visa, is for seasonal work. So there's no year-round work, year-round visa. Correct, Professor? I just make sure I'm not saying the wrong thing.
Nope, that's absolutely correct.
So let me read a couple of texts here. We know 50 years ago, American families were in construction and truly illegals. They have totally pushed the American people out of construction except for electrical and plumbing because of the licensing issue. So you can address that. Somebody else said, in my opinion, someone's humanity should might not be tied to their utility. We shouldn't care because what people do for us. We should be care because they are people, which is another way to look at it, because some people run to church every Sunday, but then forget that the people that they're trying to deport are also people. And then somebody else said, we need to find a way to inventory all the people that came in illegally, keep the good ones, deport the bad ones, and then put the immigration system back how it was. I don't know how it was. You tell me, Professor, what effect it would have.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Because I always like to bring up what people think, because you can say whatever you want. If they're hell-bent on believing the other thing, it doesn't matter. So let's service their objections or their questions and see if you can answer them. So when it comes to the percentage of undocumented immigrants in farm work, food processing, etc., if, and I presume this is what the Trump administration would like to do, round everybody up in the next couple of months and deport them, what would it look like in the economy and what would it be like for Americans?
Yeah, so I think that part of it would be immediate food shortages. And, you know, we got a little taste of this during the pandemic, well, the early days of the pandemic, where we saw really severe food shortages, you know, looking at empty grocery store shelves because of the impacts on meatpacking facilities, on chicken processing facilities. So I think, you know, we would immediately see shortages. And that would be across the board, all kinds of food that's produced in the United States. I think then, you know, because of the the ways that labor cost is kind of one of the few flexible costs, unfortunately, that farmers have, we would then see prices rise. And so if we're already worried about the cost of food, which I think many of us are, we would then see prices skyrocket. And I think that, you know, it's a systems issue. It's, you know, I do think that farmers and farm workers need to be paid more for the work that they do because it is absolutely essential work. But it's also work that has been cheapened over time, right? And I think that absolutely, you know, there are impacts on American workers because of this. But I think also raising this question of, with the current money that is being paid to farm workers, is anyone going to take that job that has U.S. citizenship? Probably not. And so we will have food shortages. We will have explosion of food prices. And that would be across the board of all of the things that we need to eat.
Somebody texted in, which American citizen is allowed to break the law without consequences? Just send the illegals back already. Okay, but that's what I'm trying to tell you. And that's what the professor's trying to tell you. If you do that, you have to look at the economic model, which is, and that goes to the argument that is proffered that illegals are taking the jobs of Americans. If you send the illegals back and you want Americans to do those jobs, you're going to have to pay them a lot more. And if you do, the farmer's not going to eat that price increase or that expense. He's going to pass it along to the consumer, which means the consumer is going to wind up paying more, which means you can't be for lower prices and deportation at the same time because your argument kind of collapses on itself. Am I saying anything wrong there?
No, I think that, that's a good synopsis. I think there's also, you know, the reality that the backbone of this country, you know, U.S. agriculture is also going to collapse. And so, you know, it's going to have an impact on our prices, but also all of those really hardworking farmers out there, if they can't get the work done, they're not going to stay afloat either. And I think that, you know, many of us have, you know, family roots and family connections to agriculture and food production, and it would be really devastating if we see even more attacks on U.S. farmers.
Thank you, Professor. Appreciate your time. Teresa Mayers, Associate Professor of Anthropology, Director of the Graduate Program in Food Systems at the University of Vermont. The person that texted in and said, which American citizen is allowed to break the law without consequences? To be fair, I would ask you, have you ever sped? Have you ever broken a law or whatever? Because it's easy to think that you're pristine and the other person is a lawbreaker. I understand that you can't have a country without borders, that it is just a park if that's the case. But I do think you need to look at the root issues of how did we get to where we are today. And one inconvenient fact is that undocumented farm workers are supplementing the price of food in the United States, and we're all taking advantage of that. So if you want all of the illegals deported, okay, but keep in mind that's going to come with a substantial increase in the price of food. And if you want Americans to take the jobs that illegals are currently taking, okay, but they're going to have to be paid a lot more, which brings us back to tariffs and imports and so forth. It's how much are you willing to pay to have all American? That's the point. 6:31, we'll come back, talk about LSU baseball right now. Time for WWL First News. 6:43, 17 till 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Somebody texted in tons of jellyfish in Gulf Shores last weekend. They were large and abundant. I hope they stay there and don't make their way to Destin. Somebody else texted in and said, have all these lazy Americans get off their butts and go to work. Today's younger American, younger generation doesn't want to work unless they're making six figures. Americans have become too entitled to everything and rely on mostly government assistance. I hope you're not talking about forced labor, because that's not really what America is all about. We tried that back in the 1800s, and it didn't work so well. Now, and again, if somebody's, I know what you're saying, they want to make six figures. If they are making six figures, well, good luck getting them to go pick fruit, because I don't think that's going to happen. And then, ultimately, if you're going to, see, here's the deal with determining, I'm going to get to LSU baseball in a second here, in determining what you want logically as opposed to emotionally. If you're going to pay somebody minimum wage to pick fruit just so they go to work and they're Americans, well, then you have to give them food stamps because they're not going to be able to afford to eat, which means you're going to be subsidizing the farmer with your tax dollars, or they're going to starve. Or if you want the farmers to pay the people, the Americans, a living wage as opposed to the illegal immigrants, well, then you're going to wind up paying more money for the groceries. So, I'm not telling you, you know, again, I'm for strong borders, and I think you have to have a country with borders, because otherwise it's just a park. The problem is we are where we are now, and what reactions are actions going to have? And with prices up already, are you going to want to pay for that? But let's move on to funner things with Jeff Palermo now, WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network news director, who I presume has finally calmed down after the big win for the Tigers. Have you, Jeff?
I think so. Now getting ready for what should be a fascinating series here between LSU and Coastal Carolina in the championship series.
They are no stranger to LSU. They are no stranger to Jay Johnson. I know that because I read your article posted at WWL.com, which is a great read, but we're going to talk about it a little bit here. Tell me, Jeff.
Well, of course, in 2016, Coastal Carolina came into Alec Box Stadium and defeated LSU in a super regional series. It was a shocking loss for LSU and its fans. I mean, LSU didn't even win a game in the series. I think Coastal Carolina scored like 11 runs in the first game of that super regional series and then walked off the Tigers in game two. And that was Coastal Carolina's first trip to the College World Series. And they actually won it all that year. And the team they beat was Arizona. And the head coach of Arizona at that time was Jay Johnson. And that was a very close series in the championship series. And so Coastal Carolina is back in the College World Series. And once again, they have found their way into the championship series. But unlike 9 years ago when they were clearly the Cinderella of the tournament, they are not a Cinderella team. This is a team that won its own regional. They hosted their own regional. They've won 26 in a row. 26 in a row. They have not lost since April 22nd. And it's not just because they're playing – it's not just because they're from the Sun Belt, and you know that's obviously not as good of a conference as the SEC. They statistically, especially on the mound, have been very good this season. They're number two in the country in team ERA. And yeah, they're not going to hit a lot of home runs, but they get on base, they get guys over, they score runs. And they have no one's really even come close to them here, even in the College World Series. So they've played really well. And you have two teams meeting up in this championship series, Tommy, that really refuse to lose. We've seen that from LSU, and it's come from behind win over Arkansas and coming from behind to beat Little Rock a couple weeks ago. And the confidence is so high for Coastal Carolina, they're stepping on the field thinking you can't beat them. And LSU has that same mindset. So that's what makes this really a fascinating series coming up on Saturday night.
Give me some names from Coastal Carolina that we're going to be mentioning on either Sunday morning or Monday morning.
Well, Jacob Morrison is their top pitcher. Now, it remains to be seen whether he will actually pitch on Saturday. They may hold him off until Sunday because his last outing was on Sunday. So they may actually start him against Anthony Ianson, who we presume will be LSU's game two starter. But this kid is 12-0 with a 2.08 ERA, and he is a big guy out on the mound. He's a physical presence, much like Chase Shores is for LSU. And then when you look at their bullpen, I mean, you got Ryan Lynch. Barely anybody has scored a run off of this guy. He's only allowed two earned runs in 31 innings. Dominic Carbone has also been very good out of the pen for them. And, you know, offensively, again, not a lot of home runs. But what they do is they're going to steal bases. They got a bunch of sacrifice hits. Sacrifice flies, they got 40 of them on the season. That's tied for most in the country. That's actually crazy. And then the most crazy statistic about this Coastal Carolina team is they get right on top of the plate in the batter's box, and they have been hit. Coastal Carolina hitters have been hit 176 times this year. 176 times. That is an NCAA single season record. Walter Mitchell, this guy has been hit 32 times in 63 games. He must be, you know, all bruised up. So that's they're a team much like LSU in the sense that they just keep coming at you offensively. There's never a chance where you can really take a deep breath and the probably very good, just like LSU is, when it comes to two outs and getting big hits in clutch situations.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up when we come back. Y'all got any questions or comments, 504-260-1870. Talking to Jeff Palermo. Got some columns up at WWL.com. Interesting reading about LSU and Coastal Carolina. We'll talk about starting pitchers and more when we return. 650, 10 till 7. Traffic now, WWL. 6:53, 7 till 7. Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Jeff Palermo, WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network News Director, about the College World Series final, the Coastal Carolina. And to be clear, the Coastal Carolina baseball coach, and I hate to say his name because I don't want to mispronounce it in light of what I'm about to say, Kevin Schnall, is that right?
Yeah, that's, yep.
All right, it said, say it with me, Chanticleers, not Chanticleers, Chanticleers. So yeah. The Coastal Carolina Chanticleers, coached by Kevin Schnall. Tell me about their pitching staff and how that's likely to play out either tomorrow night or tonight. Tomorrow night or Sunday afternoon, and hopefully not Monday night because we don't even have to go that far. But tell me about that.
Right. Well, again, they've had three guys that have been toeing the rubber for them every weekend as far as their three main starters. I already told you about Jacob Morris, and their other two guys are really good as well. You got Riley Eichhoff, who's 7-2 on the year with a 3.10 ERA. You got Cameron Flukey, who's 8-1 with a 3.29 ERA. I think we're going to probably see Flukey on Saturday. 109 strikeouts and 95 2/3 innings. Been very solid for him. The one thing that stands out about Coastal Carolina, when you take a look at their team, in particular their pitching staff as well, is it's a lot of right-handed guys. So that probably what that means, you're going to see a lot more of Jake Brown than you will see of Josh Pearson. They're much more right-handed heavy when it comes to their pitching staff. They only have a couple lefties, and most of those guys are coming out of the bullpen. So all three starters that LSU will face as far as right-handed pitchers. So that will be interesting to see. So we'll see. Maybe, Michael Braswell has been really struggling offensively for LSU. So does that give an opportunity for Jay Johnson to play Tanner Reeves a little bit more in the championship series? And how will he construct the lineup? It will also keep Derek Curiel at the top of the order, which I think a lot of LSU fans like, because when usually there's a lefty here lately on the mound, Curiel's been batting down lower in the batting order. So expect some sort of a lineup where you got Curiel and you got Ethan Frye and then Jared Jones and Stephen Milam near the top there and Jake Brown. And those guys right there have been very good for LSU. So I think that's a bit of an advantage for LSU because they have not hit as well against lefties as they've hit against righties.
So they play in a Sun Belt Conference. Certainly the level of competition not the same as the Southeastern Conference, but what about non-conference games? Have they played anybody other than the World Series and in the regional, I guess, and the super regional that really is noteworthy?
Well, yeah. I mean, when you take a look at what they did in the super regional series against Auburn, I mean, LSU got swept at Auburn, and they went in there and they swept. They went in there and they swept Auburn in a two-game series. This is a team that's beaten Clemson on the year. They beat North Carolina State, who's been a very good program. When you take a look, Tommy, one thing you could do is when you look at their RPI, now granted they've played more games than most teams. Their RPI is now up to number two. Their overall strength of schedule is 49. LSU's is 27, by the way. But their non-conference strength of schedule in the country, and this is adding in all the teams they've played in the NCAA tournament, is fifth best in the country. So it's not like they've been scared to play teams. This is a team that's won 56 of their 67 games they've played. They're number five non-conference strength of schedule. When you look at LSU's strength of schedule non-conference, it's 161. Part of that was it was just a really bad schedule for LSU non-conference wise, but they make up for it by playing in the SEC when it comes to their overall strength of schedule. So this is a team that's that is tested. It's a veteran team. They are worthy of being in this championship series, and they are a serious threat here for LSU.
So when it comes to strategy, does Coastal Carolina look at it as we're hoping for three games? Does LSU look at it as we hope it's two, plan for three? Is the advantage to either one if it goes to three games? Tell me, take me through that.
Well, when you take a look at Coastal Carolina, they got three starters that they feel very comfortable with. So that I think is that gives them belief that they could go three games, and they got several guys in the bullpen that they can go to. LSU, it's been a bit of a mystery or whatever, whether it's going to be who's going to be the third starter. Now, it all kind of depends on how the first two games play out for LSU. If they end up having to use Case and Evans on Saturday or Sunday, and he's not available to start on Monday, then LSU's got to figure out. They'll probably just go back to Zach Cowan, I would imagine, on Monday if it ends up getting there. And look, Zach pitched really good on Wednesday night, so that was great to see. So I don't know. I don't think either team is light on pitching. Again, Coastal Carolina is number two in the country in team ERA. LSU's in the top 10. I think both teams feel like they're in a good position pitching-wise.
So your thoughts are how this unfolds?
I think it does go three games, but I think in the end LSU wins it. I just think they're the more talented team. They just seem to be, and heck, Coastal Carolina probably feels the same way. Like, they're on a mission too. They've won 26 in a row, but LSU has just been able to figure out how to win baseball games every day, and they've done it in a variety of fashions. And I think that will continue here over the next three games.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it. We'll have all the action for you here on WWL. First pitch at 6 o'clock, pregame at 5:30. Tomorrow, then on Sunday, pregame at 1 o'clock, first pitch at 1:30. Monday, if a third game is needed, it'd be at 6:30 pregame, 6 o'clock pregame, 6:30 first pitch. Brought to you by Cummins First American Bank, Jerry Lane Cadillac, Keefe Seating, and Eric and Louisiana Dental Center. We come back. We're going to talk about New Orleans leaders and the French Quarter.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.